Hey, you're listening to the Produce Like a Boss podcast, where we are arming you with the tools that you need to become a six-figure producer. So if you're brand new here and you don't know me, hey, I'm Chris Bradley. I have built a six-figure production company from my home studio, recording and producing through multiple revenue streams, including sync licensing, beat licensing, custom songwriting, session work, and more. All right, let's do this.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Produce Like a Boss podcast. We are back in action. My name is Patrick Clark. I am the brand manager here at PLab, and I'm joined by the one and only Chris Bradley. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. No complaints. Happy to be here. Love these conversations we've been diving into these past few weeks. Just so fun to be back doing the show.
And I know. I'm so glad we're back. I feel like so much like life happened and holidays and all the things. It's so good to be back in the groove.
And just kind of in it, and just, I love getting to unpack these ideas with you in the sort of, you know, we have format, I make notes, but it's just fun to explore these topics and give people unfiltered Chris Bradley on, you know, topic A, topic B, whatever we're exploring. And
yeah, we were just joking about how sometimes like Patrick is like, I don't know if like I brought enough questions. And I'm like, do you know who you're talking to?
We're going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
We're going to jam. We're going to jam on these great. You bring such great, great questions too. Seriously. Thank you.
Well, like I say, it's my personal coaching hour. I'm just coming in with what I'm struggling with in my life.
I love it. That's leverage right there. Yeah. We're getting PJC's coaching hour on the podcast.
So today we're talking about a very cool topic, hiring a VA, hiring a virtual assistant. And but I'll be totally honest, before I started working with you, I'd never even heard of this role before, and especially wouldn't have considered it as something that I could use as a musician. And seeing people in our community that are just like going into the stratosphere with their career because they've brought on team members of virtual assistants has been awe-inspiring. So I think this episode, more than any other, could change the game for a listener. Like if they just start implementing this team member, this tactic, this strategy in their business. So we're going to talk some of all things hiring a VA today. And as I've kind of been doing lately, I like to maybe start at the beginning with you and your experience, because I would imagine probably a foreign idea to you too. You know, you came up through the same sort of musician streams that we did, and virtual assistants probably wasn't super prevalent in Nashville and LA and stuff when you were, you know, running the scene. So how did this sort of come about for you?
Yeah. So, okay. So the idea of bringing on help from my production company came as it was needed, but I did not know about virtual assistants. So at the time, I actually started by hiring local interns, right? I discovered VA when I built Produce Like a Boss.
Okay.
And I can't remember how that came into play, but it was like, you know, I had never like hired like a full-time team member before, or even a part-time team member. It was just solopreneur me. And somebody was like, you know, you can like hire a VA like overseas for, you know, $5 an hour. And I was like, no way, right? So of course I dug into it and I did some research. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Like, you know, there's such a strong work ethic too, and such a, like a, just a joy and a pleasure they take in working, you know, with these American entrepreneurs. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and I've hired several now to work for Produce Like a Boss. And we've had Rose almost since the beginning. She was like my first VA, right? And as we started getting into working together, I realized how much of this stuff I had been using interns for, I could also use a VA for. So I was like, well, what if I built some systems out and did this for my production company as well? And then I started teaching people in Home Studio Boss VIP how to do that. And it took off. And it's like you said, these people like are like these students are having like exponential growth, like just because they're getting their time back. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of a long answer. But yeah, it didn't start with like, oh, I think I'll hire a VA. It was like I hired a VA for my coaching business or my courses business. And then I went, ooh, I used to use interns for this, but I bet I could make it even easier.
Right.
Right. And oftentimes when an intern comes to work for you, they don't. You have to train them a lot. You have to spend in-person time with them as to where a lot of these VAs are coming to the table, already web designers, already graphic designers, super affordable and working remotely.
Yeah.
You know, so well, I found much more value in that. Yeah.
That's great, because that was one of my questions, sort of the idea of hiring interns is sort of more commonly known, maybe in just America, North America. That's more of a commonplace idea. So it's great to sort of hear the contrast between the skill sets that you might be experienced with the two different types of roles. But maybe we could...
Well, and interns are temporary as well. You know, right. You got to keep in mind, like when that class is over, like seasonal it might...
turnover.
Yeah, it could be seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that the value of having the interns, like if they were specifically, you know, focused on music, music production, engineering, and all of that, there's a different set of tasks that you can outsource to somebody who knows audio. Sure.
Sure.
But even so, I mean, we have a VA who edits the podcast.
Yeah.
And she does audio and she, you know, she didn't come from that world. So,
yeah. Well, maybe we could just explore a little bit, like what kind of tasks, you know, people who maybe this is the first time they've ever heard of a virtual assistant. What kind of tasks
yes.
could get the gears okay. going of like that they could be hiring someone on to help them with in a music space, perhaps?
Yeah. So like I said, a lot of these VAs are coming to the table with like extraordinary skills and like a skill stack. Mm. So anything from building websites to landing pages to lead pages to funnels, opt-ins, freebies, stuff like that. You mm-hmm. want to do like, you know, like you're doing an amazing artist funnel right now yeah. where you're capturing emails and you're capturing leads. There are even VAs that have Facebook ads knowledge, you mm-hmm. know, how to run ads. They do graphic design.
Super
admin.
A huge help
yeah.
for graphic design.
Right.
Huge.
Graphic design, admin, video editing, picture editing. I mean, the list is really endless. Like, but mm-hmm. like, I mean, it's so robust. Like, and it depends on what you can find a VA that specializes. Like, we have a VA that we work with specifically, who just does video editing. But then we have a VA who also does video editing on top of all the other things she can do. So it really depends too on like what you focus in on and what you're looking for. But
right.
I have found that we have a couple jack of all trades VAs that are just absolutely amazing. So graphic design, photo editing, website building. I'm thinking of one of our students who I can't remember which one it is right now in VIP, but registering copyrights,
right.
registering with the PROs. You know, think of anything. And I think we just talked about this in the last episode in time management. It's like, you should only be doing the things in your business that only you can do.
Right.
So if you're not a graphic designer and that's not part of your brand that like, oh, I make my own artwork, which in some cases, I'm sure that could be the truth, mm-hmm. but in most cases it's not, right? Most of the time you're being a solopreneur going, I have to do everything myself, right? If you're spending your time doing things that somebody else could be doing, that's taking away from the art that you can be creating, because your VA, you can't hire someone to be creative for you. You know, you can't hire a VA to sing your songs, write your songs, you know, get you clients, right? But you can hire them to do things like graphics and web design and registrations, admin stuff.
Admin
like that.
Stuff. Yeah, I think that's great. Well, I know particularly we have some students in our community. Derek Sebastian has been killing the game with his VA and the team, the team he's building there in terms of doing sync licensing and all the admin that goes with that.
Yes, sync licensing and even beat licensing. You know, we've been talking a lot about getting your beat stores up and getting your songs up for license. Mm-hmm. That's a process, right? Like, you know, of like going into each online platform and uploading all the things. And it's like, man, you could build that once
right.
in a Google Drive, right? And mm-hmm. do a little SOP, right? And then do a little Loom video, like, and show somebody how to do that and then pass that off and delegate that to somebody else.
And I think particularly like when you're, maybe perhaps more on the artist side too, there's a lot of things in the grassroots thing approach that just take a huge amount of your time, and there's no way around it that it's going to eat up time. Like I think particularly and this is what I was thinking about for myself about bringing a VA on for Patrick James Clark's artist career. I know that's myself too, I'm using myself in the third person, but for my artist career, because I try to juggle a couple hats. Spotify playlisting, if you're going to reach out individually to like, there's a lot of playlists now and there's ways to do it, but there's no other way to do it than reaching out to each one. And you could do it with email templates, but looking at it, I was like, there's no way this doesn't take up hours and hours of time. And right away, there's something that could be outsourced to team members. But I think people, there's a lot of resistance. Like, well, I can't hire someone. Like maybe I make only a little bit of money playing bars. Like I think it's a way more accessible thing than people think, and that's just a great thing to demystify, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just one other thing I just thought of on that last thing you said, you can have your VA do research as well. So like, for example, let's say you're like, oh my gosh, I have to reach out to all these Spotify. Like, yes, you could outsource that, but like, there's going to be things like that where it actually does need to come from you maybe because you need to, maybe you need to customize what you're saying depending on the person. You could say, hey, get me the contact of boom, boom, boom. Here's how to do the research. Go find it for me, right? Like you could shorten the process by having them do research and come back to you with bullet points of like, here's the exact people who to reach out to. Here's their contact and so on and so forth. But to fast forward to what you just said about it, you know, accessibility, think of it. So a lot of the VAs overseas, particularly in the Philippines, start around $5 an hour. Mm-hmm. $5 an hour. I just want you to just like, think about what we spend $5 on like every day, right? From a cup of coffee to whatever, to an app, right? So $5 an hour, not only that, not you don't have to enter into a, hey, you're 40 hours a week, you know, or 20 hours a week even. You can start with a VA by saying, hey, I'm kind of new here to this world. I probably only have about, you know, 5 hours to 10 hours a week. Oftentimes they have multiple clients. And as long as you're communicative about that, then they know that like, okay, I can't just survive on this. So they might have other clients as well, but that doesn't really affect you as long as they're doing the work they do for you, right? And then you can grow into something like maybe you guys start working together and now here's where it gets really good. You got your time back to do the things that only you can and should be doing. So now you're focused on revenue generating activities, right? Yeah. Now you're making more money and you're like, wait a second, ROI.
Yeah.
So much return on my investment. Okay. I had you for 10 hours a week at, you know, $50, right? But let's bump that to 20 hours a week because it's like if you put a dollar into a slot machine and it gave you back $3, wouldn't you want to put into five next? Like, so you're going to look at the ROI that you're getting from getting your time back and then scale accordingly. So you don't have to jump in with this huge time commitment or huge money commitment. You just scale it up as it works for you.
I think that's a great thing to chew on too, because it doesn't something you have to go all in on. And it's like, well, I only have like this much work. Well, maybe there's still things that you could get help with that could help scale your career. And then as that brings in more money, it lets you scale further. And that's like the foundation of what it means to scale, right? It's to sort of take things on as they're needed. So I'm going
to
hit you.
Well, to take the things that are working and throw gasoline on those, right? So, but I just want to make sure that I highlight what you said, because I think there's definitely that kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Extreme, like think like it's like I either need to hire somebody with all a full commitment or it's nothing. It's a very all or nothing mindset. No, like not only could you start off at 5 or 10 hours a week, you could start off with a project.
Right.
Hey, I've got all these songs. They need to be registered. I think it should take this month. You know, can I hire you for a project? See how it works. Great. Okay. I don't have anything right now. I'll come back to you. I mean, whatever feels good for you, just communicate it. You don't have to enter into like a working relationship where you now have an employee. It's not even like that. It's they're a contractor at the end of the day.
Well, I think that's great because that kind of leads into this big question. This is the big pushback we get every time it's brought up is I'm not ready for a VA, right?
Oh my gosh.
I'm not ready to do that. And I know we've talked about a lot of that, but maybe what would be some of the things you'd say to someone? That's like the biggest resistance that we always get, right? I hear that all the time. I'm not ready for it. I've said it myself. I'm not ready for one.
Yeah.
So how do you address that? The big sticking point.
Yeah. So oftentimes like when people say that and then they finally do, they're like, I wish I did this like 3 years ago. So not only are you probably wrong, sorry,
right.
Sorry, not sorry, but you're probably so wrong that you probably should have started a few years ago. But how do we solve that? How do we feel ready? How do we know? I would say to do a log, like a brain dump of like all the things that you do in your business, right? Like just brain dump it out in no particular order. Then I would categorize those things. So maybe do this on a Google Doc so you can easily copy paste, move things around. I would categorize those things by things that only you can do. So if it's like writing a song or singing a song or something that like it needs to be you, like put that in a category of its own. And then anything else that doesn't actually require you to do it, like just put that in a separate category. And then I would also rate things like kind of on a number system between like what you actually really love to do and what you just kind of like do because you have to, right? And then you're kind of able to take a step back and then it will smack you in the face like how much you're giving like a time suck to things that like not only do you not love to do, you're not really good at doing them. So you're spending, you know, an absorbent amount of time doing things that should be done quicker, right? Like, for example, so many people are designing their own websites and it looks like garbage because you're not a designer, and that's okay. Like, that's not your jam, right? And then like they insist on doing it because they're like, no, I'm going to save money. I can't afford it. And it's like, well, if somebody is $5 an hour, how can, and you've wasted 20 hours of your time. Mm-hmm. Let's make this really easy too. Let's unpack this one more bit. Mm-hmm. If you want to make $100,000 a year, you have to make $50 an hour if you're working 40 hours a week, give or take minus a couple of weeks. Like that's how the math kind of adds up. Yeah. So you have to start looking at yourself as a CEO. You have to start valuing your time differently. If you're doing a task you can pay somebody else less than $50 an hour to do,
right,
you're actually taking a pay cut. It's actually costing you money.
That is huge, Chris. I think that is like one of the biggest success mindset pieces that gets overlooked, because in attempt to be maybe resourceful or frugal or money wise, you're actually hurting your own success.
Absolutely.
Alex Hormozi has this great quote of, it's costing you whatever you make right now minus $1 million not to be a millionaire, or not to learn how to make $1 million, right? That's how much it's costing you not to learn. And that is it's a huge piece of not valuing our own time at what it's worth.
And this goes, it's so funny because I think you kicked off our money mindset podcast with this question, and I didn't get as deep into this, but it was part of like, that was part of my mindset shift and my perspective shift, was learning like how to actually value my time and have that line up with like future me. Like if I want to be a millionaire, I should not be doing $5 an hour tasks. Like I shouldn't even be doing $50 an hour tasks or $100 an hour tasks, right? Because, you know, if I want to be, if I want to make $1 million a year, let's use that as a more tangible, you know, okay. Like that just doesn't make sense. So now you start making decisions differently. You start thinking differently about like how you're spending your time, and you stop saying things like, you know, like you said, I just want to be responsible or frugal. It's like, it's actually very irresponsible for you to do that thing. Right?
Totally. I think that, and that goes to a lot of different tasks too. You know, I think just as people start evaluating their day, when they're making that list of what could VAs do, it's also going to be good to do an audit of what's consuming your time, because maybe there's even higher level team members, or I think it could be very illuminating to you of what's consuming all your time and the value that's, you know, attached to that.
And this goes beyond like the VA and the team and what you're doing with work. It's like, for example, like, unless I'm looking for the experience of, I want to go and walk through a grocery market because I don't know what I want yet, and I just want that experience. For the most part, I order my groceries delivery.
Yeah.
Number one, I always get to see how much money I'm spending, so I'm never surprised at checkout. Mm-hmm. I get to save time. It gets brought to my front door. And if I order over $35 worth of groceries, it's free delivery. And I got back the hours of time that it takes to get in my car, find parking, get to the store, spend more than I intended because I went when I was hungry, you know?
Yeah.
So you start looking at other things in your life too, where it's like, I'll give a good example. And I don't want anyone to feel called out if this is currently you. It's just inviting you to maybe look at this differently, because I used to do this too.
There's
I don't
no
do it
judgment.
Anymore. There's no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone. But it's like people that will wait in a line for an hour to get gas for 20 cents cheaper at Costco, for example. Like we have Costco, and it's like, it's not that much cheaper than like a regular gas station, but there's a line around the whole, and it's like, it's terrible. It's choking up the parking lot. It's hard to get in and out because people are willing to spend that time to save that extra 20 cents per gallon. And I'm like,
Yes.
Like my time, I just view my time more differently now because I am very aligned with my identity and like what it is that I'm trying to accomplish. Right.
I totally agree. And it's
with my business
nice,
and my monetary goals.
Yeah, of course. And which is a nice crescendo to our time management, money mindset, VA hiring sort of series we're doing in this fourth run, because it really is all coming back to how you're valuing your own time and then how to sort of find strategies and tactics to optimize that. So let me ask you, Chris, people are sold. We've just done a great dissertation on why they need a VA. What do they do now? Like, how do they even go up? Do they go on Indeed.com, Monster.ca? Yeah. Like, what do people do? In short, I know it's a longer process, but what could the listener go do right now?
For sure. So I will give, I'm going to give some actionable like steps for sure. This is something we dive deeper into inside of Home Studio Boss VIP with mm-hmm. like full blown trainings, but I'm trying to give you like, I'm distilling in my brain.
Let me distill.
So, I mean, there are various online platforms. You've got onlinejobs.ph. Mm-hmm. You've got Upwork, Indeed, right? Just mm-hmm. to give you three. Mm-hmm. Something that I would just be very mindful of is if you were to post like a job, for example, you would get a flood of applicants, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things we teach you how to do in the program is we teach you how to really go through a filtration process where you're pre-qualifying people before you're just hopping on a Zoom call with them, right?
Right.
And you can do that through, you know, things like Google Forms and different, you know, processes to make sure that you're valuing your time mm-hmm. and not just responding to every person who raises their hand at this opportunity, because not everyone's going to be qualified, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I want to put that out there as a disclaimer of like, don't get super excited if you put a job op up and all right. of a sudden you're in block, you're going to feel overwhelmed, excited and all the things. And oftentimes, like if you go through the right process to curate and filter those people before they even get to go to the next step in the job mm-hmm. process with you, it's going to ease that hiring process a lot more. So that's where they can go to find people, right? Mm. But before even doing that, get really clear on what the needs are that you have in your business, right? So once again, it goes back to that brain dump document. You're putting down the things, you're listing everything kind of like a laundry list. You're rating it based on, you know, what, not just how much you love doing the thing, but how qualified you are to even do it. You might really like building websites. Doesn't right. mean you're good at it.
Right.
right. So there's an element of that. Rating yourself, knowing thyself with, you know, rating yourself, true assessment with full transparency and honesty. Mm-hmm. And then obviously separating off the things that only you can do. So for example, in Produce Like a Boss, like I'm the only one that's making the course, right? Like the right. courses and the content. Like I cannot outsource that. I mean,
yes.
Technically, I guess we could get into what that would look like to bring on other creators. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
From like from just a simplified perspective. But what I can outsource is like, you know, customer support, Facebook group management, you know, and mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. Creating graphics, building websites. God knows I could not build websites as good as our VAs do, right?
Yeah.
So you start getting really real with yourself about that. And then you're able to at least come to the table when you make your job description. You got to be really clear in what you're looking for, right? Because then you're going to attract the right candidates. And okay. that's only going to come from you brain dumping out everything and getting messy with it first, cleaning it up, and then putting that into a job description.
You're right. And you said something so great there about your zone of genius and just identifying it honestly. Because there's no point in, you know, sort of dying on this hill of web design if it's just not something you can do. And, you know, fitting a square peg into a round hole can only get so far. So I think that is the biggest thing you need to do is sort of have a conscious approach, like where are you really strong at? And then let someone else's zone of genius fill those gaps, which will let you sort of build this company, build this career. So I think that's, you know, a really wonderful, piece of advice. So on that note, because we did sort of tease it a little bit, but we do dive into this pretty robustly in our training in Home Studio Boss. So if people want to explore that, what would be the best way for people to sort of learn a bit more about that and maybe speak with us?
Yeah. So you can head to producelikeaboss.com/call to book a free discovery call with one of our team members to see if we can see if we're a good fit for you to help you implement some of these things.
And
we'd love to chat about it.
Bonus points if you mention this episode and speak with me directly. We'll have a whole, I'm like, I heard you guys on the podcast. I'm speaking with Patrick. Yeah, we're always here to chat. Produce Like a Boss, the Home Studio Boss VIP program is built to help people scale their companies, scale their careers as a musician. And having a VA is a really integral part of that. So I'm so glad we got to explore this topic. It's a topic I've been super curious about. It's something I'm in the process of working into my own career. So maybe we'll have an update, some podcasts a little bit later, like how's the VA search going for Patrick? Because I really am boots on the ground real time exploring all these teachings with all the students. And that's what's so great to do the show like this, because we get real time feedback of how things are working, you know, in the industry right now. And that's been one of the biggest treats to have these conversations.
Absolutely. And it's been really, really exciting for me to see how this has revolutionized our students' businesses, you know, mm-hmm. to hear the experience, like you said about like Derek, I know Anada is crushing it with her VA and there's not as many people as I think need to be jumping on it. So I'm actually curious as well, if you're listening to the podcast and this is something you want to learn even more about, like let us know because we can do more content on this. I feel mm-hmm. like we just kind of scratched the surface mm-hmm. And I feel like we could dig into this more. And if you need help implementing this, definitely book a call at producelikeaboss.com/call.
Amazing. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap up this episode. Again, if this is something you're really keen on, we will go even deeper, as deep as needed, to help you get to where you want to be in your career. But for right now, we'll say goodbye and we'll see you guys again in another episode soon. Take care, everyone.
All right. See you guys. As always, I'm going to take us out with one of my songs. This is a song that I'm a writer and producer on with my side project called Side Trip, and it's called Pawn.
It's a young move.